Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. Let me tell you about what we got coming up straight ahead. Our good friend Dr. Robert McTeer is with us, folks. Bob is the former president, of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, which is one of the 12 banks part of the Federal Reserve System. He is a former member of the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, which his predecessors are the ones who followed him are meeting today. We're going to talk about that with Bob. He's now a distinguished fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis, and I'm going to tease him a little bit and call him something that he used to call Larry Kudlow. He's now a celebrity economist because many of you see him on television many times. In fact, you've seen him already today on television. You're going to see him again a couple times later today. He's very much in high demand, and we're glad he spends a little time with us. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
Celebrity
economist. The demand results in part from my price, which is zero.
Well, you're like, like when I do something like that, I tell them they get their money's worth.
Yeah.
One time I was working with the SBA. Well, I should say one time. I've been doing that for 11 years now. But one year I was working with the SBA, and they gave me my little badge. It had my name on it and everything. And I had like four or five ribbons under my badge for different things they had me doing. And one of them had VIP. I actually got a badge that said, little ribbon that said VIP, and one of my buddies was teasing me. He said, "All right, Blasingame, what the heck's that mean?" I said, "That means work for free."
In German.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Bob, it's good to have you here. As I mentioned, the FOMC is meeting today. You used to be part of that group. I want to remind people, it's interesting to me, Bob, to think about the differences between the federal the central bank of the European Union, the ECB, and they have a mandate to control inflation and let everything else take the hindmost. In the United States, we don't have such a mandate. Our central bank is managing inflation and growth, but there actually is what some people are calling now a triple threat, and that's inflation and growth and the credit issue. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I boil all their multiple chores down to two. I think that when they control inflation, they're also doing positive things for the dollar. And I think when they try to control the financial crisis and get us out of that, they're also doing positive things for economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have more unknowns than they have equations, but it boils down, I think, to two. And they can only deal with one at a time. Most of the mm-hmm. people on financial TV and radio say, "Well, give me some low unemployment and give me some high growth," and they just list off a bunch of things as if they're all compatible, and they rarely are. You have to choose.
So by controlling inflation, that strengthens the dollar. Strengthening the dollar gets commodities back in line a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it becomes a virtuous cycle.
Which helps the inflation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They feed back on each other, and they all work together. The problem they may be, at the same time they're doing that, though, they may be weakening the economy if it's not too
mm-hmm.
strong.
So, but see, that's the horns of the dilemma that they're on, and that's where, we have this thing in this country, in the United States, where we want to accelerate growth. We've enjoyed pretty low inflation over the last several years. In Europe, they're so skittish about inflation, they'll let everything else take the hindmost, won't they?
Yes, but we've been lucking out a little bit lately. The Fed has been assuming that it can put inflation on the back burner and deal with the financial crisis primarily, and with a weak economy, and that weakness in the economy that they figure is going to continue a while will help with the inflation problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the recent break in oil prices and some other commodity prices maybe their wish may be coming true there.
Or maybe they could look around and say, see, it worked.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, the inflation rate got a little high before it started working. You know, the CPI right. over the last year is up 5% headline, up about 2.4% core.
And core being without energy and food.
Without energy and food. Now, I know that this riles you, that anybody would look at a price index without energy and food.
Yep.
But let me say that what's happening now is going to reverse that, and the headline's going to be coming down faster than the core, I think.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Bob. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Now you know why Bob is so much in demand, and we really are grateful and fortunate that he spent some time with us. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the brain trust and the newsletter and the blog and lots of other stuff that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz, where you get small business answers now. Hope you'll check those out. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Dr. Robert McTeer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is the Distinguished Fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, the organization that our friend Pete DuPont is the chairman of. We're very grateful to have two outstanding members of that organization as members of our Brain Trust, and that's ncpa.org, right, Bob?
Right.
ncpa.org, and your own website is bobmcteer.com.
That's right, and from there you can get on my blog.
And your blog, which I encourage you to do, folks, to have a chance to blog with Bob McTeer is a pretty high-class situation. Bob, I feel like that when watching the Fed do what they've done in the last 6 months has been like watching MASH. Remember MASH when they brought the battlefield folks come in on the television show and
everybody
the doctors,
springs into action.
Well, they spring into action, but they're also performing what medical people call triage.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, the guy's leg's about to fall off, and I need to put his arm back on, but right now I better take care of his heart.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they've had to do, isn't it?
I think this is the worst financial crisis we've had since the Great Depression. And
wow.
If things had gotten worse at several key points, it could have really spiraled out of control.
We'll never know how bad.
Yeah, the Bear Stearns thing could have gone over into the other investment banks, and the Freddie and Fannie doubts could have been devastating since they're involved in half our mortgages.
We'll never know what kind of a cascade the Bear Stearns thing could have cost.
I'm getting ready to make a speech, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how people criticize policymakers so much. And part of the reason is if policy is successful, it means bad things don't happen. And if they don't happen, they're not seen.
Right.
But any adverse side effects are seen.
Right.
So the public that's not paying real close attention gets a distorted view, and they think that only bad things come from policymakers.
You just defined a thankless job.
That's right. That's right.
You mentioned Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Those two organizations are certainly weird ducks, aren't they? I mean, they're private companies with the now explicit, no longer implicit, but now explicit backing of the government. But yet these organizations are able to lobby very successfully on Capitol Hill for their own behalf. And their executives make ridiculous salaries and bonuses. What are we going to do with these two organizations?
Well, Alan Greenspan lobbied for some reform for the last 15 years.
Right.
And I put one of his testimonies in 1998 on my blog just to remind people that a decade ago they were talking about this. You know, the history is that they started out as government organizations, and then they privatized them and let stockholders in on it.
When was that?
Several years ago. I don't remember.
70s, 80s?
70s for one of them,
yeah.
And maybe earlier for the other one.
Right.
I think Freddie's the new one. So it is an odd duck, and I think as a result of this, I hope they don't do anything to them right now. We need them right now to get out of
right.
our crisis.
Right.
But there's been so much loss of stockholder value that the stockholders are pretty much are close to being wiped out already. So maybe they can just go ahead and, heaven forgive me for saying this, nationalize them.
Wow, yeah, I don't even like that term, let alone the idea of doing it. But I hear what you're saying, and I mean, but isn't that de facto what's happened? I mean, haven't the taxpayers basically borne the brunt of the of their losses?
Well, they just have the potential of it. All that's happened is that they have the Treasury had a 2.25 billion line of credit with them already,
right?
And Paulson got permission to raise that as much as needed, if necessary. And Ben Bernanke said that if necessary, they could have access to the discount window. So, saying that could well preclude their having to be used. It means that the people that deal with them now have the explicit guarantee of backstops by the government, whereas before they assumed they were there, but they weren't explicit. They were implicit.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, but certainly Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are harness mates in this government intervention scenario that's been going on, starting with Bear Stearns, I guess, and of course, actually, it started with long-term capital management back in 98, didn't it?
Well, financial crises did. That was just a hedge fund that got over-leveraged, and it was basically bailed out by its creditors, not for long, but they wound it down in an orderly way by putting more money in.
But there are some precedents that have been established, folks. It'll be interesting to see. Bob, one of the things you and I talked about in the past is whether there has been there was in existence a commodities bubble. I believed that there was, and I think you did too.
Yeah, I think so.
And we're now seeing the collapsing of that, aren't we?
I hope so. We're certainly letting a lot of air out of it.
Well, oil's come down 20-something bucks. Everything dropped. Every other commodity except pork bellies dropped this week, I think.
That was that's probably my fault.
Yeah.
too much bacon.
Too much bacon. Me too. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got 10 till, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Bob about what he thinks about the rest of the commodities topic and also about the long-term outlook for the economy right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Dr. Robert McTeer is our guest. Bob McTeer is the Distinguished Fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis, former President of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, former member of the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee. And his new contact information is ncpa.org. That's the National Center for Policy Analysis website. His own website is bobmcteer.com, and you can find his blog there as well. I certainly encourage you to keep up with what Bob's got going on. Bob, let's go ahead and before so we don't run out of time. Let's talk about the FOMC. They're meeting today, and I believe that they won't do anything today, and if they do, that'll mean they won't do anything, barring some cataclysm, they won't do anything until after the election, because anything after today is just too darn close to the election. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right, but I don't think that's the constraining factor. I think they wouldn't anyway. I think even if there were no election, it would be several months before they would feel comfortable
really?
Tightening. Yeah.
The markets are really, a lot of people think they ought to raise rates a little bit.
I know they do, and I don't quite understand.
The market was disappointed last time.
A lot of people say if you raise rates, it'll help the dollar. Well, maybe not, but the dollar is really helping us right now, because in that second quarter, the early GDP numbers, exports went way up and imports went way down, and it just really helped a lot. And I hate to give that up too soon.
No, I agree with you. No, I don't think they ought to raise rates either, but some people do. And but I still say that even though nobody will admit it, that there is the influence of the election, the not wanting to seem one way or the other about the election, and I'll tell you something, Bob.
Let me clarify my view on that.
All right.
I agree that if it weren't the other thing, the election would become a factor. I've been there, and you just don't want to do anything right before an election. You don't want to be accused of trying to influence it. So, it is relevant. I just think that there's another constraint that overrides it.
Well, and don't you think that just a quarter point change right now is not going to, one way or the other, is not going to make that much of a difference either way, anything?
Well, I don't know. If people say they went the wrong way, it could do some damage. People are asking for a quarter point increase, but I'm not sure that sensible people are asking for a quarter point increase. They're the types that are getting attention on financial TV.
Exactly.
Gives them something kind of odd to recommend, which you need on financial TV.
By the way, back to the commodities thing. I mean, so basically, we're in agreement. They're not going to do anything today, and for a variety of reasons, won't do anything then until probably 2009.
Probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. Quickly, back to this commodities thing for just a second. Haven't we seen just on the jawboning about future oil that we've gotten from President Bush, from both of the nominees, especially Obama? Hasn't the jawboning, which has caused the drop in oil for 20-something bucks, doesn't that prove how much speculation has been in the price of oil?
Yeah, I'm not sure why the price of oil broke. I don't know if it was jawboning or not, but I do agree with you that I don't know if you'd call it speculation necessarily, but it was a bubble. I mean, there was sort of an artificial demand because people thought it was going to keep going up forever.
Right.
And maybe that's speculation. I don't know the definition of speculation.
Well,
you know, Will Rogers says the way to do your stocks is you buy your stocks, and when they go up, you sell them, and if they don't go up, don't buy them. Well, you could call that speculation.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm not an enemy of the speculators. I'm an enemy of our Congress. Not an enemy, but I'm a detractor of our government that won't have an effective domestic energy policy. That's the problem,
you know,
with our oil prices.
For a long, long time, we should have been drilling where we're not drilling. We should have been working on nuclear, working on coal, working on wind.
Right.
People say, what should you do? The answer is everything.
Exactly. Not either or, both and. I completely agree with you. Bob, I've got my audience clamoring for a haiku. They're coming in from all over the place. Request for one of your haikus before we go.
Well, let's see. The one that the investors got us into this subprime mess with, but let's see. If regular loans don't earn enough to suit us, maybe bad loans will.
That is what got us into this thing. Bob, quickly, in 10 seconds or less, what do you think about the economy rest of 08 and 09? We heading up or down? Sideways.
I think we're heading sideways for a little while. We won't have the stimulus checks boosting the next quarter. We're going to be muddling along. I don't think we're going to have two consecutive negative quarters, but I do think that they are going to call it a recession anyway when they look back on it.
Thanks, Bob, for being here. Bob McTeer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.